As a church, we have benefited by the freedom to worship God in any way we want because of the service of these people. And these are sacrifices both by those who served in the armed forces and also by those who saw their loved ones leave and serve. So to remember their service, we offer this to honor those who are no longer with us. Please join me in prayer. Dear Jesus, you reminded us that no greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And Jesus, we remember the sacrifices of those who have gone before us. And for those who have lost loved ones, God is with them and with us. We are reminded of this in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, where it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Dear Jesus, we know that you are with us. We know that you are with those who are no longer with us, Lord. And in the words of Henry Van Dyke, we pray that, Almighty God, we commend to your goodness all who are near and dear to us, wherever they may be today. Watch over them, provide for them, bless them in body and soul. At last, bring them to us into perfect and eternal joy in heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We do need our God. We do need our Savior and our King. And it's right to offer our petitions up to our God because he listens to us. The Apostle Paul wrote this in his letter to Timothy, saying that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. So this morning I'd like to come around and hear your request of praise, thanksgiving, and petition. So if you raise your hand, I'll bring the microphone to you. So let us join with everyone else and pray at this time.
First of all, my thanksgiving and praise for this church and all the people who are a part of it and the love that they share amongst each other, God's love and how great that is. And prayers for Judy Van Gastel as she continues to heal, and also for my husband who's suffering from leg pains that need to be healed.
Oh, dear Jesus, hear our prayer. Heal Judy, bring her back to us. Lord, and heal Peggy's husband. Make him whole. Make him whole.
I just want to say thank you to each and every one of the people in this church. I suffer from very, very bad depression. And so once in a while when it hits me, it's very, real bad. But God brings me through daily. And as I grow in his faith with this church, my faith is so strong that it's wonderful. And I don't even mind it because I know I've got so much behind me. And with God working with me daily, I just feel blessed. Thank you.
We thank you, God, our comforter. Thank you for this praise.
Two prayers. One, first of all, from our brother Bob and the Brown family as they mourn June's passing. That's devastating to hear about that this week, but to see you here today. So we just ask that you know that we're with you and that we love you and that we support you. And then second, my wife, Karen's home recovering from her foot surgery, so she couldn't be here, but we pray for healing for her as well.
Okay. Thank you, Jesus. We know that you're a comforter and that you are a healer. Be with Bob, his family, and be with Karen as she recovers.
I'd like prayers for the people of Manchester this morning in their grief.
Dear Jesus, we don't understand why people do this, why we have these horrible acts, the bombing in Manchester, the attack on the bus in Egypt, the stabbings in Portland, the shootings in Mississippi, Lord. We do not understand, but we know that you love justice, and we know that you will see your justice done ultimately, even though we may not see it, Lord. And we put our faith and our confidence in you that you will handle things, and we just need to have faith in you, Lord.
I'd like to thank everyone who has been praying for Cammie through her various health issues. So thank you very much.
We thank you, Jesus, for prayers answered. We see them all the time.
I'd like to ask for prayers for Jim and treatment of his depression. And I feel like with the prayers of the church behind us, we're going to overcome this.
Oh, dear God, we pray for illnesses of all kinds, even for those who suffer depression, Lord. We just ask that you be with them, you release them from this. And so, too, Lord, we ask you with your caregivers that they may be strengthened, they may be fortified to continue to care for those that they love.
I'd like to thank the church for all the prayers while I was in Guatemala on the mission trip. It went really, really well. No one was sick. We got good.
Praise you, Jesus, for Brenda and the whole team's safe return from Guatemala. Dear Lord, we trust you, we love you, and you know that you love us, Lord. Hear the prayers that we have spoken just now, the prayers of your people. We pray too, Lord, for those concerns that have not been voiced. We pray for the recovery of Victoria Phillips after her surgery. We pray for the unmet needs in this congregation, for job situations, Lord. But so too, we give you praise. We give you praise for songs well sung. We give you praise for new lawns installed. We give you praise for women's teas being offered and all the countless ways that people serve your church, serve the humanity around us, Lord, as we show forth the love that you've modeled for us through the life of Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, we join together and we say the truths of the Christian faith as we recite together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Today I'll be reading from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 8. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up to a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus.
Thank you very much for that reading. Well, as you know, Pastor Kim is away this Memorial Day. She is seeing her youngest son play baseball for the University of Michigan. So in honor of that and some baseball, I have a little prop this morning. So you'll have to forgive it, but I can't help it. So, and you too may sit down this Memorial Day and maybe play a little softball or maybe enjoy a game or two on TV. So in keeping with that spirit, we're going to use baseball a little bit of an analogy today. So this morning, I want to look at the Apostle Peter and kind of the actions of Peter. Because if the way he's portrayed in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he doesn't always get it right, does he? In fact, all of the disciples are kind of shown to be, they're dedicated followers of Jesus, but they're not listening to what Jesus says. So we're going to look at, the reading was from the Gospel of Mark. And Mark, we are told by early church sources, was an interpreter of Peter. So not only is the Gospel of Mark an account of Jesus' life, it's also an account of Peter's experience with Jesus. So that's why we're going to look at how Peter does. And as I mentioned before, Peter is depicted on not always getting it right. Now, of course, sometimes Peter gets it right. And in Mark chapter 8, verses 27-29, we see that Jesus and disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked them, "Who am I? Or who do people say I am?" And the disciples said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." That's the right answer. That's an example of he hits it and it's out of the ballpark, right? That's the truth. Well, it doesn't last for very long, because you go another few verses into Mark chapter 8, verse 31, two more verses, we see Peter's first strike. He gets rebuked by Jesus. Starting in verse 31, that Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders. He must be killed and in three days rise again. And Jesus spoke plainly about this. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. He said, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Well, if you were Peter, what would have you done? Here's this man you've been following for, years. You've left everything for him. And he starts talking about being killed and suffering and being betrayed. So would you take a step back and think about the big picture and having contemplated everything Jesus had said and think, "Oh, well, yeah, maybe that makes sense"? Nah, you wouldn't do that. You would do what Peter did. you would take Jesus aside and say, hey, Jesus, you got to stop talking like this. You're ruining the program. And notice in verse 33 that not only did Peter get rebuked by Jesus, but it was a public rebuke. Verse 33, but when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. It's Peter's first strike, you know. He takes his bat and didn't make contact. Well, that's one thing, but when we see Peter again in the Transfiguration, the passage of our text this morning, he gets rebuked by God, working his way up, right? It says in Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 4, that after 6 days, Peter took James, John with him and led them up to a high mountain where they were all alone. And there, Jesus was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking to Jesus. That would have been quite a scene. Peter, remember, with a select group with his Lord going up on a mountaintop, which is, you know, we talk about mountaintop experiences, right? Mountaintops are special. And they would see Jesus transfigured. Theologian Rodney Cooper writes, Peter, James, and John were given a gift that the rest of the world will not see until Christ returns. It was as though the veil between this world and the next was lowered for a moment so that these disciples could see Christ as he really was. So how does Peter react? Peter says to Jesus in verse 5 and 6, he says, Rabbi, it's good for us be here. Let's put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. He did this. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Excuse my cold. So Peter was totally in awe, as I think any of us would be, right? And what would have your first thought have been? Would you have turned and run away because it was too much? Would you have gotten out your iPhone and took a picture so you could post it on Facebook? Maybe you want to text your apostle buddies down below and say, you got to get up here. You will not believe this. Well, Peter, his first reaction was to do something. So Peter, I can imagine his train of thinking going, okay, I've got Elijah, the greatest prophet, and I've got Moses, the lawgiver, and how do we honor them? Tents. We celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles when we remember how God dwelt in a tent before the temple. Let's put up some tents. So is Peter doing the right thing there? Is he doing stuff? In verse 7, the passage continues. Then a cloud appeared and covered them. A voice came from the cloud. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Well, God speaks. And God doesn't say to do this or manage that, does he? He says to listen. And who's God speaking to? Is he speaking to Elijah? No. Is he speaking to Moses? No. Well, he's not speaking to Jesus. He's speaking to Peter, James, and John. He's speaking to us, because that's who we are in this story. God says, listen to Jesus. This is your priority. Not doing stuff, but listening to Jesus. Peter, second strike. Now later, we see a third rebuke of Peter at the Last Supper. In Mark chapter 14, starting verse 27, it says, "You will all fall away," Jesus told them. Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." About how he would have said it, right? "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "yet today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. Now, Peter's gotten rebuked again, hasn't he? Because Jesus has told him what he did not want to hear. Now, if a good friend comes up to you and they tell you something you do not want to hear, maybe that you're heading into sin, they can see it coming and they give you advice on this. You know, what's the first thing you say? Do you take a step back and say, "Well, yes, you're right. I'm working too hard. It's going to destroy my marriage and estrange my children from me. Thank you very much for telling me that." Now, you're probably, if you're like me, you're not going to listen. You're probably going to say something like, "Oh, I've got it under control." And maybe even say, "Well, you should mind your own business," right? Now, Peter was not listening, you know, and again, we don't either. So we see this pattern, don't we? That Peter doesn't listen, but are we any better? You know, I think I said, the way the apostles are shown in Mark is somehow comforting to me because I don't get it. I don't listen to what Jesus says, and because the first thing I think of doing is to do, and then I get around to listening to God. And I don't always have the faith that I should. You know, like Peter, we swing and we miss the ball. We should be called out on strikes. But how does Jesus treat Peter? How does Jesus treat us? Jesus loves us, Peter and us. He continues to teach us. He does not give up on us just because we've got three strikes, but he is patient. After every strike, he is still there. And as Kim said last week, Jesus is never in a hurry. He is with us. And all we need to do is to keep listening to Jesus. And even after Jesus leaves this earth, he sends the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us. And particularly we see this in the apostles, that he sends the Holy Spirit so that after Jesus is gone, he is still with us in the form of the Holy Spirit. And he gives them the power to do what he's asked them to do. He gives us the power to do what he asks us to do if we listen. And what a difference it makes. You know, next Sunday we celebrate Pentecost, which is when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples in a powerful, powerful way. With tongues of fire. And we see how this fortified the disciples and showed the disciples what Jesus' life and words and death on the cross meant. And after Pentecost, Peter is bold. He speaks despite opposition. He knows that what he was shown at the transfiguration, that Jesus is the one we should listen to and respond to, that this is all about Jesus, not us. We should listen and then act. So after Pentecost, Peter understood. He learned the lesson of listening. In Acts chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, Peter says, "For Moses, the Lord your God will raise up for you another prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you." Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we see Peter showing us how to get it right when we listen to God. And later in Peter's second letter, he mentions this transfiguration. And he connects what he saw in the transfiguration to Jesus' second coming. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 18, it says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" And Peter adds, "But we ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." You know, despite not getting it, getting three strikes, Peter is saved. So, are you listening to Jesus? And now I'm not talking about Peter of Acts that keeps swinging and missing. I'm talking about the Peter after Pentecost, who knows that we have to listen first. And God will tell us. God will speak to us. Or are we too busy doing first? Are we too busy asking God, "God, can you do this or give me this or be over here?" That's doing first, isn't it? We need to listen. And like with Peter, the Holy Spirit is an important part of this. The Holy Spirit is who led us to faith in the first part. We didn't do it on our own. Our own nature doesn't lead us to God. It's through the work of the Holy Spirit that we are here in the sanctuary today. It's through the Holy Spirit that we have our faith. And our Holy Spirit guides our faith so that it remains true, that we don't drift off onto other paths. And if our faith fails a little bit, the Holy Spirit revitalizes our faith, keeps us on the right path. So is your faith stagnant, perhaps? You know, are you looking for something more? Are you dissatisfied? You know, Pastor Kim from Talking Up Here is not going to renew your faith. You know, she'll point you in the right direction. Going to another church, a different service, is not going to renew your faith. The only way you can renew your faith is through the Holy Spirit. Because it has to happen in here, inside of you. It has to happen from within. And we must do that. Now, it takes a little bit of discipline. Not going to lie to you. You got to have some patience. But it is so doable. Anyone can do it. And it is worth it. Now, and many of you know this by experience. I know from talking to people here. And I'm currently going through something like that. So as many of you know, I'm going to seminary, and in 13 days, I graduate. I'm all done. It's been a 4.5-year journey. Well, thank you. And the logical question when I tell people this is they say, "Well, what are you going to do with your degree?" And I say, "I don't know." Because when I started on this, I felt called to go to seminary, but per my usual habit, I wanted to have a plan. All right, 3 months this, 2 years that, 5 years, that's where I'm going to be. But whenever I did that, I felt the Holy Spirit telling me, "No, not now." I kind of felt curtains drawing in front of my eyes where I could not see. And this was kind of tough, not knowing. I like to know. I don't know about you. I see some people nodding their heads. And But you know, after I practiced it, it was good. It was very good in trusting God, in listening. Because that was a message I got. I just needed to listen what the Holy Spirit was going to show me. And I didn't have to do the sleepless nights, the worrying about this, that, or the other thing. You know, I could go to school and study in peace. And, you know, it's not always easy, but, you know, there are rewards. You don't have to do first. You can be listening first. Because the Holy Spirit will be with you. To answer your question, I still don't know. Worry about that 2 weeks from now, so. But as I said before, next week is Pentecost. You know, the coming of the Holy Spirit. So there's no better time than now to renew your link with the Holy Spirit, to get reacquainted with him. So my challenge for you is this week, spend some time listening to Holy Spirit. Do it every day. Listen to Jesus. Now, last week, Kim started off with listening for a minute, right? I know for some of you, this was a little bit of a challenge, but it was a good start. So how long should you listen to God this week? Well, baseball blogger Rick Johnson has calculated that the average time up at bat for a major league player is 65 seconds. And say you're on a good team, you get up 9 times, you know, in a game. So you get 9 times at bat. Maybe you have a hit. Maybe you have a miss. So maybe you're up 10 minutes a game. So my challenge for you is to spend 10 minutes a day this week listening to Jesus. You can fit that in. If you don't think you can, don't worry about it. It'll work out. God works that way. So 10 minutes a day listening. So I give you 3 options. If you like, and I've put these in the bulletin for you. There's actually a page there that has the scripture this morning and these 3 options. If you want to spend your 10 minutes in scripture, that's great. Pick a few verses. Spend the first 5 minutes reading it. But then stop reading, stop being busy, and start listening. What is God trying to tell you by those 3 verses that he has put in front of you? Not something you did, it's something the Spirit has done. Now, maybe you want to do more of a prayer type thing. So find a place to pray. I do this in the car driving. So quiet place, you're alone in the car. Take 5 minutes to share with God what's on your mind. Thank him for stuff. Pray to him. Complain to him. Be talking to God. Imagine for me in the car next to me, they think I'm wacky because they see my mouth going and I get animated. But don't worry about that. So talk to God for 5 minutes. Spend the other time listening. Maybe perhaps you want to do a mini examine. That's where you sit back and you look at what's happened to my life in the past 24 hours. What's gotten me happy? What's gotten me upset? What's gotten me sad? And why, God, did you show these things to me? What are you trying to tell me through these things? If you don't pay attention, you'll never listen. And God's talking to you, all of us, all the time. So pick one of these. Do it every week and be alert for the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Not just in those extra 5 minutes, but anytime, through any way. Maybe it'll be something that someone says to you. Maybe it'll be another prayer time or another scripture that you're going to read. But the Holy Spirit will show you. And keep in mind, it won't be necessarily a dove and, you know, tongues of flame shooting around you. Because the Spirit does not, the way he acts, he does not show him himself. But he points us to the Father and to the Son. So you have to look for him wherever he is. So this week, listen to Jesus. And when you hear him, you have to obey. It does no good to listen without obeying. Obeying's not hard. Maybe you give up some of your own self-will, but what good does that do you sometimes, right? Listen and obey Jesus. So I have confidence that by next Sunday that you will have heard the Spirit speaking to you, that Jesus will have spoken to you, and that your trust in the Lord has grown, and that you will be renewed. Please join me in prayer. Dear Father, you have sent Jesus to us. You have told us to listen to him. You sent the Holy Spirit as a helper to help us listen. You are faithful to us, and you are the source of all that we need in this world, our life, and the words of Jesus. May we listen this week to what you have to tell us. We pray this in confidence, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So we have a faithful God. So how do we respond to our faithful God? Well, one way you respond is by getting involved in the ministries of this church. I want you to go out in peace, to love and serve the Lord, to listen to him, to feel the Holy Spirit act inside of you. Do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.